Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. My name is Candace Wassell. I'm the pastor here at Faith. It is such a joy to have you visit with us. You are welcome, so welcome in every part of Faith's community. You are welcome to join us in person at worship on Sundays. You're welcome to visit us online. You're welcome in our mission and our fellowship, and most important, you are welcome at the Lord's table.
May the Holy Spirit guide my words today so that this sermon is meaningful and opens the Word of God in a new way for all of you. Amen. Jesus is presented in the temple. Jewish women such as Mary were required to participate in ritual washings to return to, quote, normal life after childbirth. Mothers were considered unclean for 40 days after giving birth to a son. For the birth of a daughter, that period was extended to 80 days. Figure that out. The text says, quote, when the time came for their purification, unquote. In addition to the purification of the mother, all firstborn sons were required to be dedicated to God. This was a tradition rooted in the Israelites' firstborn sons being saved by God from the 10th and final plague that killed the Egyptians' firstborn sons. This occurred during Passover, prior to the Israelites being freed from slavery in Egypt. Since Mary and Joseph were both devout and loyal Jews, this requirement was also applied to Jesus. Mary and Joseph were also obedient to civil authorities. You recall that they went to Bethlehem, as was decreed by the Roman law, to be counted in the census. And as you also know, Jesus was born there. Recall that Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. Of course, Jesus was talking about the law of Moses. But he also deferred to civil authorities when he was challenged about who the currency of the day belonged to. He answered correctly that since it had the image of Caesar, it must be Caesar's. Jesus and Mary and Joseph went to the temple in Jerusalem for a ritual of purification, the ritual prescribed in the book of Leviticus. Luke wants to emphasize that this is a Jewish family that devoutly follows every aspect of the law. Now, Mary and Joseph could not afford the usual sacrifice of a spotless lamb, but it was acceptable as a sacrifice by the poor to provide, quote, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, unquote. It is important to notice that Jesus came from a poor family. I think we all know that, but there's a point to that. We all know this. But that fact of Jesus being raised in a poor family may have helped him to identify with the poor during his ministry. Not only was his compassion part of his divinity, it was also based on his personal human experience. The idea that they were poor would lead us to believe that this offering occurred before the Magi arrived with their gifts, you know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, if they had that gold, they could have bought a lamb. Of course, I say that somewhat in jest. Carl got it, I guess. I assume that Jesus was also circumcised at this time, which was also required by the law. The circumcision is not mentioned specifically in today's text, but verse 21, just preceding today's gospel reading, includes both the circumcision and the naming of Jesus. That practice by law was to take place when the firstborn son was 8 days old. Well, since Mary was to be purified 40 days after she gave birth to Jesus, it would appear that the naming and circumcision took place well before the occurrence of purification. So I learn something new every day. In any case, today's text says, quote, the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, unquote. Now when you go home, look up, or you can do it right now if you want. Open your Bible and look up Leviticus chapter 12, verse 3, and it talks about what was required. Again, it is important to understand that Mary and Joseph were strict observers of the law. This is what Luke is trying to drive home. But being unclean, as Mary was considered to be, it's not a sin. Jesus is being presented or offered to God to follow the law. He does not need to be purified. He is without sin. Note the presence and the guidance of the Holy Gospel throughout this process, through this series of events. At our weekly Men's Square Bible study at Bob Evans, this week we had some speculation as why Jesus needed to be purified. Further, why did he need to be baptized? I don't know if there was any final conclusion. That is not the purpose of our discussions. Rather, it is the free and open exchange of ideas where no one is criticized for their point of view. It is where we listen to the opinions of others and our own preconceived notions. It is an opportunity to open our minds and to come to our own conclusions based on what we have said and what we have heard. No one knows for sure what the right answer might be. The answer might be different for different people based on our life experiences. But we expand our horizons by listening to the thoughts of others. We may go home with a combination of ideas. It is good for all of us, and I think we all go away in peace and joy. We may not have Simeon or Anna physically present with us to guide us to the truth. Further, we do not have Moses, Isaiah, or any of the other Hebrew scripture prophets there in person to bring us God's message. What we do have are the Holy Scriptures, the spiritual presence of Jesus among us, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help us along. Who needs more than that? But let me get back to today's gospel. Anna is a prophet, and Simeon speaks. Both are older persons who spend much of their time in the temple. Simeon has asked and has seen God's promise fulfilled. Anna, as a prophet, will confirm that the promise has been fulfilled, that God will show up for everyone. God's message comes to all, regardless of age. It is said that Simeon had been looking for, quote, looking for the consolation of Israel, unquote. So he has lived for many years, not merely for himself, but for others in the region. This consolation may be the overthrow of the Roman Empire. It may be the greatness of Israel brought by King David. But realistically, that is really not why Jesus came to earth. There is no doubt that Simeon sees the arrival of Jesus as the fulfillment of that consolation in whatever form it may take. He clearly recognizes Jesus as a promised Messiah. Simeon's lifelong awaiting of this Redeemer has been brought to fruition by the action of God. This child is destined for the rising and falling of many, Simeon says. The Sadducees and other Jewish leaders faded away after Jesus completed his ministry and the temple was destroyed. Peter denied Jesus, but later repented. Judas, on the other hand, betrayed Jesus and despaired. But don't we all fall and rise again with the help of the Holy Spirit every day of our lives? I know I do. Simeon says that Jesus will become, quote, a sign that will be opposed. By sign, it is meant a target for Satan, for the Jewish leaders and the Roman rulers. But Jesus outwits and overcomes them all. During Advent, we had been focused on the coming Messiah. On Christmas Day, we are in awe of the birth of the Christ child. In today's gospel, Simeon and Anna are telling us what this God incarnate Jesus will do for us. They are looking ahead beyond this glorious birth moment and the upcoming salvation of all humanity. What better setting is there for this event than the temple? Throughout his ministry, Jesus was rejected by many, but he was not rejected in this key moment in the temple. Jesus was crucified, died, and rose again, but only through his obedience to the Father. It was something he chose to do. Simeon wisely says that Mary, as the mother of Jesus, will face much worry, heartache, and suffering during the life of Jesus. At times, Jesus will seem to reject her and her family. She will bear his long absences from home. She will witness her firstborn son being shamed and executed as a common criminal. Nevertheless, she never loses her faith and her belief in the ultimate redemption of all. Simeon speaks, but Anna says nothing. At least she does not speak at the time of the ritual. But she does later speak about the child and the promise to, quote, all who are looking for the redemption of Israel, unquote. Anna meets Jesus and is inspired to spread God's message, the gospel. Anna, in her own right, is quite a remarkable woman. She has lived to an age which would be well beyond the usual life expectancy at that time. Even though she was married for 7 years, she spent the vast majority of her adulthood as a widow, unless she had a son or sons. To support her, she would have lived in poverty and disgrace. Maybe this is why she stayed in the temple, quote, night and day, unquote. Possibly the temple priest took pity on her and tended to her needs. We really don't know the details, but the point is that Anna remained faithful and devoted to God. She had not become bitter despite the hardships of her life. But after witnessing Jesus and hearing what Simeon had to say, she went about spreading the good news, the gospel. We might say that she was the first evangelist. This Messiah, our Messiah, brings the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem, Anna will say. Crucifixion, resurrection, and redemption. It's all there in this God made human. He is the promise of new hope. The salvation of Jesus began with Israel, but will always be extended beyond Israel. It will include Gentiles, such as us as well. We should take joy in knowing that God's salvation has been revealed. Let us pray that more and more the world will see and turn to the Messiah. We must prepare ourselves to meet this mighty one who has come to redeem the world. We should put ourselves in God's hands, saying, quote, dismiss me now according to your word, because I have seen your salvation, unquote. Just as Jesus was ritually purified in the temple, we are all purified by the Holy Spirit at our baptism. The Holy Spirit also came down upon Jesus at his baptism by John the Baptist at the Jordan. We need the Holy Spirit to purify us and lead us through life. Jesus, on the other hand, being divine, did not need the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit to his disciples and then on to us. We should be attentive to where the Holy Spirit is guiding us now. We are being led to a whole new life for everyone. Now, I generally conclude the sermon with a passage from Scripture. Today, I will read a passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The most valuable message we have to share at Faith is the promise we have in Jesus. We come together every Sunday to share this good news in the reading of Scripture and sharing of Holy Communion. It is these two acts of worship that we learn of the forgiveness, peace, and joy that Jesus has won for us on the cross. These gifts also belong to you, and we hope you will feel welcome to receive them. After we've shared worship together, we trust that we are ready to be sent out into the world to serve our neighbor, and you're welcome to join us in that great work as well. There are so many opportunities at Faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. It's what we feel called to do. It's what we're passionate about. Above all, I want to encourage you in your faith. No matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, you are welcome to visit Faith as often as you are able. But whatever you do, keep searching. There is a church family set aside just for you, and I trust the Holy Spirit will place you right where you need to be.